Blog Talk Radio.
Red and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Let's go
on Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio with your host Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
I just get tired of arguing the same argument every single week. We talk about Calipari being a cheat. We talk about him not caring about the program. All he cares about is wins. All he cares about is his endorsement deal.
Go ahead.
I heard a lot of background noise in the background. You got to turn the speakers down, Mike. We've only been doing this for like 5 years now, and you're still using speakers. It's look, this is the year of the Cardinal. The year of the Cardinal is still continuing. Everybody at home is watching Louisville on ESPN right now, taking on Central Florida, trying to go undefeated. You got to take one win at a time, and Central Florida is a respectable team. They're not a top team or a dominant, but they are respectable. Should be a good game. But everybody, the world gets to see Teddy Bridgewater tonight in primetime. That's what I'm most excited about, under the lights. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Red versus Blue, high-stakes fantasy football, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I'm Scott Atkins, team legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football and fan of the 2013 National Champion Louisville Cardinals. As always, unfortunately, joined by my Big Blue co-host from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Michael Trent. Mike, Louisville up 7-0 on Central Florida, and welcome to the program.
I don't know. That's not enough. Can you hear me okay? I don't sound too bad, do I?
I can hear you.
Perfect. First off, great little camaraderie we had before the show. I wish all of you guys could have heard Scott and I going at it left and right. It was Ollie Frazier, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah, Louisville's winning 7-0. They need to pour it on, man. I took Louisville minus 14. They got to beat teams like this by more than 14. They got to beat teams like this by 21. They got to have Bridgewater showcase himself. I'm not a Louisville fan, but I'm a Bridgewater fan big time. And let's showcase him. Do it.
Well, it's going to be a better game than I think we thought it would be. I'm just watching the game here, trying to keep posted. But we will keep everybody up to date. Brothers Mayhem in the chat room, the crew here at Red vs. Blue, some of the best minds in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. Henry Muto, IPS driver, urinal mint. Henry is in the chat room saying Kentucky Wildcats ranked number one. That is true on in the basketball in the rankings. Kentucky is ranked number one based on this recruiting class. Blah blah blah. Better than the Fab Five. Yeah. Blah blah blah. Calipari has to get them to win together. That's the thing that they have to do. But this is not even basketball season yet, Mike. We should be talking football. Can we really talk Kentucky football?
We'll never talk Kentucky football. But I will talk Kentucky basketball here for a second. Last year, they were ranked number two preseason, and we saw what that got them—a first round NIT bounce. So I don't pay too much attention to the preseason. I mean, they've got the best recruiting class, this and that, blah, blah, blah. until they hit the floor and until we come into January and February in basketball, then we'll see what happens. But I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to talk some football, Scott. We got a lot of things on the board, but
we do. We do. We're going to get started on everything that we have here tonight. It is week 7 of National Football League. I want to thank everybody for joining us or catching the podcast later on when you get up in the morning and what have you. Thank you for listening. It's a big week in the Fantasy Football World Championship where somebody, you know, in that contest is going to win $150,000 this year. Roto Bowl contest, our mid-stakes contest, somebody's going to win $25,000 this year. Big, big league prizes. You win over 12-5 in the Fantasy Football World Championship League, 21-50 in the Roto Bowl leagues. Those are record league prizes that you can win in those contests. And, Mike, David Hughes continues to lead the way at the Fantasy Football World Championship. He has the top two teams in the contest. And his third team that he entered this year, Mike, is in 12th. So he has three of the top 12 with two of the top two, and he's done it with the Denver Bronco players, Mike. That's how it's done with Peyton Manning, Julius Thomas, Moreno, and then he has Welker in one and then Demarius in another. When you have that many Broncos and you have some other good pieces all around it, things tend to break your way. He is doing it. He's doing it convincingly, and so congratulations to David Hughes on this run. And it's not just our contest that he's doing it in. He's doing it in all of the big contests, Mike. I'm seeing his name everywhere. This could be a record-shattering year for Mr.
Hello.
David Hughes out of Indiana, Terre Haute, I believe. Now, John DeIzia, the Brotherhood, is number one in Roto Bowl, and he took over the top spot this past week over, again, pure strength. David Hughes is right there in the number three spot. And Brewers Bombers, who we had on the program a couple of weeks back, he had dropped to 11th with a little bit of a down week. But John DeIzia posted 200 points last week, and it was a big week for him. So, you know, he's got to be excited about getting going. And so just always want to give all of our listeners an update on those two contests, and then we will talk a little bit of Dynasty World Championship right after I hear from you.
Yeah, you know, one thing about it, Scott, is this past week, if you score 200 points, that's a lot. It was a down week for scoring, so that's pretty huge for that team and his teams, because as I was noticing throughout every contest and every league I was in, it seemed like 160, 170 points was a great week. But to score 200 was phenomenal. You know, your thoughts on that on this past week, Scott?
Yep, 200 is a very big week for last week. That was not happening very often at all. And it looks like Central Florida just scored a touchdown to tie the game, Mike. Central Florida is 7-7 on
the last time I bet on the freaking Birds.
You got to be careful, man. Got to be careful. I want to also break everybody up on the Dynasty Football World Championship. Dynasty World Championship, our friend Dave Osrani, who has been on the program before, he is leading the Dynasty Football World Championship. But I want to bring up a trade. I want to bring up a trade that happened in that league with Dave. You know, Dave had Julio Jones in that Dynasty World Championship league. And he had to pull off a big trade because, look, if you're number one overall in the Dynasty World Championship, you got to be thinking to yourself, well, what am I gonna do to stay up there? You're number one overall. You got a chance to take this sucker down, and all of a sudden, your star player Julio Jones goes out. So what do you do? Well, the beauty of the Dynasty World Championship is you can trade. Dave Osrani, redshirted seniors one, gives up Julio Jones, a 2014 round two, and two 2014 round threes. You ready for this? Four,
what do you get?
Relentless gave up A.J. Green. So,
wow.
Julio, a second and two-thirds for A.J. Green, and that was done in order to stay up at the top of the leaderboard. What do you think about that trade?
Well, you know what? It sounds like the team that got Julio or the team that got A.J. is the team that wants to win now. The team that gave up all of that stuff they just want to, you know, they're building for the future, even though it's only the first year in the league, but they're building for the future, right?
Yeah, that's what it is, man. It's building for the future, and you have to at this point. You know, if you're 1-6, or I mean 1-5 on the year, and you look at yourself as a dynasty team, and you see an opportunity to do a lateral move. AJ Green for Julio is rather lateral. You're picking up a second and 2/3. Well, yes, it helps the guy that's in your league, but what do you care when you're at the bottom of the leaderboard anyway?
You are
reloading. You're making your team better because, let's face it, you're not any worse with AJ Green. You may disagree that you may not feel he's the best, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a very lateral move, and then you have a second and 2/3.
And you're taking on a Julio Jones and just a bunch of picks and – so I'll take the picks. If I'm 1-5 and if I'm in that position, sure, I'll take the picks and give up AJ Green and just move on down the road.
Yeah, so congratulations and good job for Davis Rainey. Also on the message boards, Cavalier King Charles has been on there. Brother Mayhem has been on there. They're doing a lot of talk about the trading going on in the Dynasty Football World Championship. Brothers Mayhem posted a new thread through the eyes of a Dynasty newbie. They keep talking about posting better lineups. They keep posting those on. And, again, the trades, it's just a very active thread to be a part of and a great contest overall. We're having a lot of fun with it in the first year of the Dynasty World Championship. If you would like to be part of the Dynasty Football World Championship, the $299 entry fee, but a lot of big prizes are going on there. And you could be the first ever Dynasty King. Every 3 years, we are going to have the total points of the three-year competition, and we're going to roll that every 3 years. Whoever scored the most cumulative points in that three-year period is who we call the Dynasty King, and there's a nice little bonus prize
associated with
that. But every year, we award a Dynasty Football World Champion, and that's going to be pretty exciting to be able to do that for the first year. You know, the first year, look, people might have drafted it like a redraft, but after time, who is going to be the Dynasty Football World Championship, the Dynasty Football World Champion? That's going to be exciting to watch because are you building a true dynasty? Or are you just building a team that's going to win now and you're going to have to reload the next year?
You know, Scott, you know, that's a great great concept, and we've talked about it before on the show. You know, I was kind of guilty myself of getting into dynasty leagues and having a pretty good first couple of years, and next thing you know, I'm falling off the map. Well, that's because I wasn't building. And so this is kind of cool. I can't wait for 3 years from now to see who the Dynasty King is. I mean, that's going to be pretty cool.
All right. Well, we want to start with it was a good run for Louisville right there. We want to start with the game from last night. Real quick recap, Seattle at Arizona. We did call out on the Google Hangout yesterday at FF Central. I called out Zach Miller being a sleeper play for the Seahawks because Arizona is the best team in the league against wide receivers, worst team in the league when they're covering tight ends. It's not a real ringing endorsement for Zach Miller, but he was healthy. He did practice this week, and he got in the game and had a nice week. I'll tell you what, I like Andre Ellington as a dynasty option in that game, Mike. Just watching that game, and again, every single week I watch Andre Ellington. I enjoy watching him play. They say he's not built for the carries, but you got to remember, they said the same thing about Jamaal Charles. They said the same thing about Jamaal Charles, and he proved them wrong. It took him a little bit of time. He didn't do it right out of the gate. But he had a very a style to him. And you'll notice that Ellington has the same type of style as a Ryan Williams has with a little bit more speed. And Mendenhall has the same style as a Stephan Taylor. But what you have there, and an Alphonso Smith is there too, but what you have is Mendenhall is kind of slowing down. He's not really an explosive player, you know, at all, and he hasn't been for a while. So if something were to happen to Mendenhall, I think you will see a Stephan Taylor come up there and get in there. Now, Alphonso Smith actually got some of those receptions that Ellington should have got. That was a little bit interesting to watch. I wasn't really predicting that. But if something were to happen to Mendenhall, I think Stephan Taylor gets his shot. And that would be interesting. Now, Carson Palmer has just lost his way, man. There's no arm strength there anymore. Very disappointing to watch Fitzgerald have to suffer through that. You know, that's just real disappointing. We thought it was going to be a nice year for Fitzgerald, and it's just not been due to Carson Palmer.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was going to be a pretty nice year for all of them, but, you know, Palmer, Fitzgerald, even Mendenhall, I really did. But the bottom line is when you're falling behind, when you're coming from behind all the time, that that leaves no room for Mendenhall, Ellington, and the whole crew. It's just basically football passes and who's your best receiver out of the backfield and who's your best receiver downfield. Roberts caught one or two, but, you know, they just keep falling.
Oh, that
falling
was a beautiful
behind.
Pass. Beautiful yeah. pass, Eddie.
What?
Oh.
They finally score.
No, but he dropped it in there. Just a nice 40-yarder.
That figures. So let's get back to important stuff because Louisville can't beat anybody. I mean, they just can't beat them bad the way they need to.
They beat
but,
the SEC last year, you dope. What else do we have to do?
Yeah,
with
yeah, well,
your
yeah,
SEC?
They did. Yeah,
last
they did.
Year you thought
yeah,
that Florida
yeah,
was the best
I'm
team
sick
in the country.
And tired. No, dude, I'm sick and tired of trying to compare Louisville to the SEC. It won't happen. Let's get back to important stuff. Arizona keeps falling. They keep falling behind, and the only way if you're a dynasty player or a high stakes player, if you have an Arizona player, the only way you're going to make hay is from Carson Palmer and Fitzgerald.
Why are you talking over me? The only thing
because
you've
I
ever
can.
Was the
because
SEC.
I can.
You're always able to say SEC. Well, we took your best SEC team last year. That's what you said. Florida was
the best SEC. Hey, whoa. How many straight national championships has the SEC won?
Anyway, SEC went down. SEC went down. That's all I got to say. You put your best SEC teams up.
How many national championships has the SEC won in a row?
Yeah, you know why? Because that's all they do is they play Texas at the end of the year, or they play each other. Yeah, but when they play a team like last year, like Teddy Bridgewater, they get smacked down. They hurt a little bit. That's what the SEC – they need to play outside of their – they play their conference all the time. You know, that's all they do.
Ladies and gentlemen, his blood pressure is up. We've got him.
A lot of games to get to, and I can't be hassling with you about your crappy SEC. Tampa at Atlanta. Let's start there. I'm like, crazy game to be talking about. Matt Ryan, I'm curious. We need to talk to Matt Ryan, the owners, right now. Right now, at this very time, we have to talk to Matt Ryan owners because – they are concerned about starting their quarterback this week. And we need to talk them off the ledge a little bit. If they have a better option, Mike, I want to go through these with you real quick because Julio, no Roddy White, no Steven Jackson in the backfield. You're counting on Harry Douglas, Drew Davis. You're counting on Tony Gonzalez. Obviously, Tony will get his. And you're counting on a couple of running backs in Snelling and Quiz Rogers. So, the question is, how does this affect Matt Ryan? Now, right now at FF Toolbox, we have him number 11, but I'm not so sure that by Sunday he's still going to be there now with this news of Roddy White not being there, and we wanted to wait until it was official before we moved him. But I'm going to ask you right now, Matt Ryan or RG3? I got to say RG3, especially with him running more, and he ran 80 yards last week. I would start RG3.
Well, let's look at the numbers. Let's look at the numbers that Vegas gives us. The over and under in the Washington Bears game is 49.5. RG3. The over and under in the Atlanta Tampa Bay game is 43. That's 6.5 point difference. So obviously Vegas is expecting a lot more points being scored in the Washington game. I wouldn't jump off the Matt Ryan train right now, but if I was going Matt Ryan or RG3, I think I might go RG3 right now.
Yeah. Well, look, Matt Ryan, Tony Gonzalez is probably going to be good for at least 120 yards tomorrow or on Sunday. That's what he's going to get. You figure that Quiz Rogers and Snelling, they're going to combine for about 50 or 60 receiving, right? So he's already up to 180. The question is, out of the wide receivers that he has, is there 100 yards there of receiving? Can he get to 280?
Not much.
And can Gonzalez more than a touchdown or two? I mean, otherwise, he's not a 302 guy this week. He's just not.
No, I agree. And it's a chance for RG3 to be that type of person. Well, let's Tell me, Scott, can RG3 do that?
It's not just RG3. I was just going to go down the list. I was going to go to the Ryan Tannehill. I was going to go to the Eli Manning. I was going to go to the Ben Roethlisberger. I was going to go to all these names down here that I would probably look at in starting over Matt Ryan, because I'm just a little concerned about what's going to happen in this game. So, again, it's something to keep your eye on. I don't look for Harry Douglas to be an all-star, even though he is a former Louisville Cardinal. Let's talk about Tampa Bay on the other side of the ball. Doug Martin needs to get off the schneid here.
What the heck is happening here, Scott?
Yeah.
What the heck is happening with Doug Martin, man? I keep starting him, and I'm just waiting. Tell me what's wrong.
Well, everybody's waiting, and it starts at the quarterback position. You know, you have to have a threat back there that you're there's a touchdown. There we go. There's your second
about
touchdown.
Freaking time.
We're going here. 14-7, Teddy Bridgewater leads Louisville on a touchdown drive before the end of the half. There is a flag down after the play. Teddy takes a hit. Okay. But look, what are we saying
probably
about
offensive
it?
Pass interference.
Atlanta doesn't have a very good defense. They do defend the running back a little bit better than the wide receivers. So if Mike Glennon is going to do it, it has to be this week. This is a game where, you know, and again, Vincent Jackson and Glennon finally did get some chemistry going last week when they had to, because Mike Williams was out. Now, Mike Williams should get back in the game. So things should settle down for this offense. I would not be surprised to see Tampa Bay put up a good game against Atlanta. So I think in my picks, which you can check out on the – and I know that Jason Duvall, Brothers Mayhem, he took me up on the challenge, and he put his picks on the message board. So you can do the same. You guys at home can do the same. It's part of the FF Toolbox message boards and the forums. You can go to fftoolbox.com, click on the message boards, and you'll see all of my picks – this week for the NFL.
Real quick on that game. I'm sorry, Scott, but real quick on that game, Tampa Bay, Atlanta. Atlanta's a 6.5-point favorite, and the over and under is 43. One of the lowest over unders for this week. I just don't see Tampa Bay doing much. 10 points max.
Yeah, I've got. I said take the Bucks. And I said take the over. Now, there was a note here I put, while plenty of books opened Atlanta at 7.5, the spread has settled at the key number by midweek of 7. Now, this is when I posted. The totals were between 42 and 43, and it's about 42.5. But I don't know. Yeah. I'm thinking that there's not a lot of defense there in that game, and I think that both sides of the ball will be able to move. I'm looking at like a
28-21-25
type game.
That sounds good.
Let's move on. If you're a Doug Martin owner, you're just praying that this is the week. And, it, you know, hopefully you're not out of it at this point, because I think there's still really good games in him. It's just got to be the offense. It's an entire – that's why it takes a team. Chicago at Washington, Mike, 1 o'clock game on Fox. RG3, they're talking about getting him the ball out in the space and running the ball a little bit more. And look, he had, like I said, 79, 80 yards last week. And the line opened at what, -1?
Chicago -1, and the over and under is 49.5.
Chicago is -1, the over under is 49.5. Yeah, you know what? In Washington, I can't. The Bears in Washington.
Why?
No, look, I mean, come on. Now, will they throw against them? Yeah. Will they run against them? Yeah. I don't know. I'm just they're still in competitive mode. These are still grown men out there. They're not just going to fold on the season. And most NFL teams don't fold, even if they start slow. They should play well at this point in the season in front of their home fans.
Well, I can't wait till we talk about the Giants. But with this game, the Bears, I'm looking forward to a big game from Alshon Jeffrey, a big game from Martellus Bennett, which he's always listed as questionable. But I'm looking for big games from those guys. And, you know, Washington, they're in the NFC least or – East, whatever. It's a division that's terrible. Washington's defense is not very good. This game, it's going to be a shootout, and I think Chicago is going to do, you know, what they want when they want to do it.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I mean, and that was a game. Dallas took care of them, 31-16. We all got to watch that game. It wasn't an effective second half for the Redskins. Who have they beaten this year? They beat the Oakland Raiders. They lost to the Lions. They lost to the Packers. And they lost to the Eagles in the opener. Again, they haven't looked good. This is the type of game I expect them to win just based on, if you look at the rest of the schedule, it's Denver, San Diego, you know, then they got Minnesota. They could probably get a win there, but that's in Minnesota. I expect them to get a win here. Just looking at the future of the overall schedule as a whole,
Scott,
I expect Washington to get a win here. Just in the fact that these are grown men, man. And they're only, if they win, but Mike, if they win on Sunday, they're one game out of the division lead.
Right. You know, you're correct there. But look at if you're looking at the past history this year, how many points have they given up? What's their defense look like? How many points does Chicago score? I mean, this is a recipe for just Chicago just running roughshod on this team. Their secondary is horrible.
Yeah, well, look, Chicago had a good win against Cincinnati. They barely scraped by Minnesota. They took care of Pittsburgh, which everybody's been taking care of Pittsburgh. Detroit handled them pretty good. And then New Orleans took care of them at home, and then Chicago got the win last week, scraped by the Giants at home in Chicago. So I think you're on the road. It's just a little bit tougher, and I think this is the type of NFL game that flip-flops on you, and I think Washington will get the win. What do we know about this game? Jordan Reed, you got to get him into your lineup. Pierre Garçon is obviously already in there. Leonard Hankerson, nah. I don't want anything to do with that. But I do put Alshon Jeffrey, even though he didn't get a big game, he's still a guy you got to have in your lineup. So put Alshon Jeffrey along with Marshall. Martellus Bennett, if he plays, of course, has to be in there because he's one of Cutler's favorite red zone targets. Matt Forte and Cutler. I think Cutler is a nice start this week. I would start Jay Cutler over Matt Ryan as I continue on my Matt Ryan tirade. Next game on the docket, Mike, Dallas at Philadelphia, 1 o'clock game. A lot of offense to go around here in what should be a shootout on both sides of the ball. I would also start Nick Foles over Matt Ryan, Mike. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. This over and under is 54.5. Dallas's defense is not that bad, but it doesn't look like DeMarcus Ware is going to play. Philly is a 2.5-point favorite. I love Dallas plus the points. I mean, you know, yeah, I love Foles. I love the way he plays. I love Shady. As long as he can incorporate Shady McCoy and DeSean Jackson, I mean, there's going to be a lot of scoring going on, but I still like Dallas plus the 2.5. And if I'm a betting guy, I'm going to take Dallas in the money line.
This is a game where Nick Foles should have a huge week. Dallas is the worst in the league at allowing opposing quarterbacks. If you watch out for the DraftKings contest, our weekly contest here at FF Toolbox, you can definitely get Nick Foles on the cheap. And look, again, Tony Romo and Dez is obviously in your lineup. A couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I called out Terrence Williams on SiriusXM
in
the morning on the Roto Experts show to be a sleeper, somebody that you should be looking that could be a difference maker, and he has turned into being a difference maker. Mike, Terrence Williams is a must start against Philadelphia unless you are completely loaded at the wide receiver position, but he should at least he should at least qualify as your flex player, Mike, because look at the quality of reps and snaps that this kid is putting in. It's very impressive for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I got one of my good friends. He's a big Philly fan, and he is just worried to death about Terrence Williams and Joseph Randall, which I know you picked up in one of our local leagues. He's worried. I mean, these two guys can just go nuts. And so, you know, this game, the 54.5 point spread, or the 54.5 over and under, that seems about right.
The only thing I would be concerned a little bit about is Miles Austin did come back. And I want to tell everybody about the snap counts. 37 snaps for Terrence Williams, 35 for Miles Austin. It was pretty much a dead heat. So you got to be careful with that. Don't get too carried away. But look, Terrence Williams does have the big play ability. So if you have the who do I start, you know, let me know and we'll work on it, or we can get you some help from some of the best high stakes pros in the country. They're talking to us all the time. So,
I got a hoodah start real quick, but we'll talk about it as the games roll on.
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
Next,
let's get you. Who do I start then? We got to get through these games. Zach Ertz and Brent Celek. If you're watching the snap count for Zach Ertz, all you dynasty players out there, be on the lookout. His time is coming. The snaps continue to go up. They've climbed every single week until now. He was the more targeted tight end. He had 48 snaps or 52 snaps to 53 for Brent Celek. So the tide is turning. Zach Ertz is getting out on the field, and the tight end position as a whole didn't get a lot of targets, but he had more targets than Brent Celek. So be on the lookout for Zach Ertz to kind of break out.
Well, it's about time. It has taken a little bit of time for Zach Ertz to get there, but he's always been the throw to tight end, and Brent Celek's always been the blocking tight end. So it's going to be Ertz's turn. He may make a difference in some of these big leagues, down the road in the playoffs.
Now, you did reference that I did pick up Joe Randle in the in our local league, and that's correct. And that team is desperate for running backs. But I'm going to tell you, Mike, since that time, the tide has turned a little bit for me, and I'm predicting that Philip Tanner will have more carries than you think in this game. I don't know exactly how this is going to shake out. I'm not so confident I think Dallas is not going to be able to really establish a run game in this one because Philly keeps the pedal to the metal in the offense. I think Dallas has to kind of do the same thing in this game, and they're going to go back and forth. It's going to be a shootout, as evidenced by the over-under in this game. So I think what's going to happen is Philip Tanner is going to have more carries than you think, and I'll bet it's closer to a 50-50 split than most people think, Mike. So be very careful with Joseph Randle. Especially if you're counting on him.
That's a very good point. If you're a Jason Witten owner, then wow, that's got to make you feel good right now.
Yeah, for sure. Not much has changed for Mr. Witten. So, Romo will have a big day. D-Jax, Dez, all those guys are going to be monsters as usual, McCoy. New England at the Jets, Mike. New England gets their party back. The Gronk is back. And what will this mean for the Jets? Pain. In the words of Clubber Lang, pain. That's what it means. He's good for a touchdown in your lineups. He's good for maybe, and that'll probably happen early on. There's some things you can do, and there's some things you can't do. One of those things is you can't cover Tony Gonzalez. Another thing is you can't cover Rob Gronkowski. These are difficult, if not impossible, things to do. Now, we saw some great defense applied by the Patriots on Jimmy Graham the other week, but then he had an injury, so that counted into the second half there. But one of the things you can't do is you can't guard Rob Gronkowski, no matter how good your defensive front is. It's something you just can't do. They can force it in there all day long, and he can move in space and get out there and go. There's a couple of things here. You've got all these wide receivers that you have question marks about. Danny Amendola is not going to be there. Steven Ridley, you still can't trust him, even though he looked good. He looked excellent. Phenomenal on limited snaps. I want to bring that up. It was limited snaps that really did his damage, Mike. If you go back and look at the distribution of the backs and the snaps that went out, Ridley did it on 37 offensive snaps. Bolden did it, had 41. LeGarrette Blount had 22. So he's just middle of the pack. But what he did with those 37 snaps was 20 carries and 100 yards or so and two touchdowns? It was a big, big day for Steven Ridley. You can't count on that. Not against the Jets. You cannot count on Steven Ridley. What you can count on is the Gronk and some combination of Aaron Dobson, Julian Edelman, and Kenbrell Tompkins. I don't know what combination that is to tell you. I'm not smart enough to predict the weather. That's what it's like in New England. On the Jets side of the ball, I'm going to give you a sleep. Like Chris Ivory is looking good. Goodson is out. I predict Goodson will have more fantasy points this week than Bilal Powell.
Wow. I don't know about that. I think Kenbrell Tompkins, he looks pretty good in this game. New England's a 3.5-point favorite, but I see this being a field goal game, and it just comes right down to whichever team is going to make the plays. New England, they're not showing me anything.
Dobson had 79 snaps to Ken Brell's 58, to Edelman's 47, to Amendola's 49, okay? If you want to just go by the numbers, the offensive system that they put themselves in, Aaron Dobson was out on the field more. So, look, even though we've seen a lot of drops by Aaron Dobson, they drafted him this high for a reason. They want to use
him.
Big catch, and I know Ken Brell was the talk of the preseason, but right now Aaron Dobson is getting you 20 more snaps, and that means something. So you got to be careful.
No doubt. I see Aaron Dobson and Kimbrell Tompkins both getting more targets and touches than Gronk. Honestly, I think Gronk will be eased in, and we'll go from there. But this game right now, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Jets are going to be right in it because Geno Smith is learning how to manage his offense, and that's huge.
Yeah, we've got a question in the chat room from Brothers Duvall, Brothers Mayhem. He says, "Does Dobson lose his targets with Gronk returning? Should we be selling on Dobson now, Dynasty?" No, he's still a rookie. They drafted him for that. The question I guess that you want to ask yourself is, how does it shake out for maybe somebody like Austin Collie? Is he even going to get on the field very much? These receivers have a history of being on the injury report, and you know Amendola hasn't been able to really stay healthy. Amendola is the one that I think everybody kind of got hyped up about and knew the risk going in, but went ahead and drafted him with his upside based on upside, and I think that's what's burning him. I think that's burning him. I think you do sell on Amendola because I don't see how this kid can just stay on the field. It's just that kind of a thing for him. So. Tough game here, Mike. What's the over-under in the spread?
The 3.5. It looks like it's 3.5 and
43.5.
Yep.
43.5 and 3.5. Okay. Now, the game opened at 3.5 at the win. I have it in as high as 4.5 at Stratosphere, settled in at 4 across midweek in Vegas. And they say that New England has covered easily in its last two trips to New York to play the Jets. Is it the same old Jets?
I don't know.
Like that?
I know, but man, the Jets look a little bit different right now.
Fred, it could go either way. I say take the Pats and the under. That's a safe play. I put it as one-star plays. Pats and the under, just play it safe. You know?
Yeah.
Don't go out on a limb. Buffalo at Miami. Miami coming off a bye week, Mike. Miami's coming off the bye week. Lamar Miller, Mike Wallace, Tannehill, all these guys should kind of get rolling, especially the offense. Tannehill, Wallace, and who's your other boy? Hartline on the other side. They should really get going against because Buffalo cannot handle the wide receivers. If you look at the points allowed reports, I think you've had enough time to really let some of those sink in. And points allowed for Buffalo, they're one of the worst in the league at covering wide receivers, right behind Philadelphia at 34 points. Non-PPR a game, closer to 50 in PPR. So lots of points to go around for Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline this week. Lamar Miller has a shot at getting it going. Tannehill definitely should have a good day. What do you think about this Thad Lewis, Mike? I kind of enjoyed watching it. I was like, wow. You know, I'm getting all my game action set up. I got the big screen with the game center on going. I have all 8 games up at one time. I got my live scoring going on my tablet, and I got direct Sunday Red Zone on my laptop, so I got everything going. And all of a sudden, I'm watching Thad Lewis punch one in the end zone. I'm like, what the heck is going on, Thad Lewis? Pretty
You know, he's pretty exciting in that, you know, they got a wide receiver, a young wide receiver that's doing a lot of things, too. I mean, he's for real. But this game, Miami's -7 and 4-3. I mean, it just tells me that Buffalo's not going to score much because Miami, let's face it, Miami does have a very good defense. But I'm not so sure if Lamar Miller is going to put up points like we're talking about. But this Lewis kid, I mean, I think he might throw for one, but that's about all I see out of Buffalo.
Yeah, we have to look, Spiller and Jackson, Miami can definitely be run on. If you're Buffalo, you got to keep it where you have a chance, and where they have a chance at running the ball. And I think they need to do a lot of that, do a lot, have Chandler involved. That's the way you're going to try to beat the Dolphins this week. Dolphins are going to throw it on you, and they're going to get it going, and they're going to try to get Lamar Miller out there. But Buffalo is going to run the ball. We should see a lot of Fred Jackson, and to what extent C.J. Spiller, although he has not been 100%, he's still not 100%. It's a shame that he's still out there and playing and hobbling.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Roddy White situation where Roddy should not have been playing those first couple of weeks. I almost feel like if Spiller would have just taken a couple of weeks to get right, he'd be okay by now. Instead, he's kind of just a 50-50 guy with Fred Jackson and ruining fantasy owners and teams everywhere. St. Louis at Carolina. St. Louis completely laid the wood.
That's the one
week.
I want to talk about.
Laid the wood last week. So did Carolina, both teams. And I think, Mike, you called Carolina out for that win. You know, that I remember that,
yeah.
That call there.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton looked good. But I'll tell you what, I got Zach Stacy. I looked up about every time I looked up from the laptop or the computer and I heard a big play going off, it was Zach Stacy just running through the line. And I was impressed by this kid. I had to watch some of it a second time just to make sure I was seeing it. And, guys, this guy's for real. I think they found themselves a running back.
Yeah, I think so too, Scott. And, you know, Carolina's a real good team. They're showing it. And people – you know, they're kind of flying under the radar, and I know Cam Newton's loving the fact. But, you know, when you're going against St. Louis, here's a guy, one guy that I've been thinking about and talking about is Tavon Austin. I've been starting him every week in one league or another, but he just is not producing. What's your thoughts on Tavon Austin, Scott?
Well, it's just a typical rookie year. You can't this is what a typical rookie does. But you do have standouts at the position that proved in years that they were wide receiver rookies that they could do it. Percy Harvin was one that comes to mind. DeSean Jackson is another. Eddie Royal, these guys really had great rookie years. But you really don't expect your rookie wide receivers to catch on to the playbook and to the system and to the speed of the game and everything, you know, until year two and year three. And so this is just what you have to do in a dynasty league. You just got to hang on a redraft. You know, look, if you have the space and a 20-man roster, go ahead and hang on to him. Nothing hurts, especially if you can't find something. But, you know, I'm all for taking and hanging on to a guy like that, and maybe you can get it going. It's like a Cordarrelle Patterson. Great talent. Going to be great.
Exactly. Perfect.
Right. Have to be patient. Zach Stacy on 34 snaps, gentlemen, 18 carries, 4.5 yards a carry against Houston. Now, he didn't get in the end zone, and he didn't get a lot of work out of the backfield, but that's because they really didn't have to. They just kind of pounded it. And that's what – but every game is not going to be like that. At Carolina, it's going to be a little bit of a different story. You know, and the week before, he looked good, too. Now, Carolina's a little bit tougher, more difficult against running backs, but I still, what I saw from him, he was going through and taking the contact, and he was moving forward. The kid's got some game, and I'm excited to see him get his chance. He's clearly the best back on the roster. On Carolina, do we have anything to talk about? Look, Brandon LaFell, don't get carried away with Brandon LaFell. 3 and 4 catches. He's going to have his best year he's ever had, right? This is his third year. He's going to have his best year, probably about 50, 55 catches or something like that, and maybe, you know, a half a dozen touchdowns. But that's about all he's going to get you. He's not somebody you can count on every week, although – he could have a decent game.
I wouldn't mind plugging him in.
He could have a decent game this week. St. Louis can be beaten in the air. And let's face it, if Steve Smith doesn't do it this week, he's not going to do it. If Steve Smith doesn't do it, he's not going to do it, because he's had plenty of opportunities while healthy to get something going. And he's gotten
– well, now I wouldn't say if he doesn't do it this week, then he's not going to do it. Steve Smith, he's kind of a – you know, he's kind of weird kind of cat. But, you know, I mean, he'll show up. But Brandon LaFell, I really like Brandon LaFell moving forward in this year, in this particular year. Dynasty-wise, no, not whatsoever. But I really, you know, this team has a lot of potential right now, and they're showing it.
Well, he's 34 years old, and, you know, he did get that touch from Cam Newton. But 20 yards receiving, 60 yards receiving, 40 yards, 52 yards, and 51 yards. Those are the totals for Steve Smith. He's had one game of 60 yards in 5 tries. not good for a 34-year-old wide receiver. So, yeah, LaFell has some opportunity. Olsen has been in the boot, but he will go. I think that's just precautionary a little bit. Urinal Mint in the chat room. I'm done with Carolina and the offense. Burn me too many times. I hear you. That's how I feel right there, man. We've got a couple more games here, Mike. Actually, we've got, 15 minutes left, 8 games to go. Here we go. Cincinnati at Detroit. What do we say about Joe Fauria? I mean, are we going to just go ahead and call him Chris Carter? He catches touchdowns. That's what he does. Still not ready to be counted on. But Pettigrew is not even really startable right now. He's not getting the workload, the targets. But what I really want to talk about is the wide receiver position there, Mike. What in the world do we make of Chris Durham getting the most work out of all of the Detroit Lion wide receivers and Calvin Johnson with still injury concerns?
Well, something's working between Stafford and Durham. You know, it's real obvious. Something is working there, and they're going to continue to work it. The one thing that I'm anxious to see is Cincinnati, you know, they win and then they lose. They win, they lose. Cincinnati's, they're a real good team. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals are a real good team. But they win and lose. So I really I like Detroit. I like Stafford in this game. I like Durham. I love Durham in this game. And, you know, over and under is 46.5, and Detroit's favored by 2.5. So, you know, I just really think Detroit's going to win this game.
Well, Stafford, college roommate of Chris Durham's, back at, you know, that's the story there. That, you know, buddies.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know about the age difference there, but 8 receptions on 13 targets, 83 yards. Calvin Johnson only playing 38 snaps. That's the issue. With him only playing limited snaps, it's not going to. It's not going to work for Calvin Johnson owners, for any of us. So, look, this is
I will say this, Scott. I think Giovanni Bernard will have a big game for Cincy. I don't see Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis getting the red zone chances, but I do see Gio Bernard getting a lot of chances out of the field. You know, in the field against Detroit, I do love Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard's a must start at this point. No matter what kind of workload he gets, because he's explosive, he can take one to the house. It's sort of like Joika Bell, who has been practicing this week and is the clear number two behind Reggie Bush. Now, they did say that LeSure was going to get a little bit more work, and he's excited for it. And I thought maybe they're going to get him a little bit more work before the trade deadline. Somebody like him. And Ryan Williams, you know, teams like the Giants might say, hey, what's going on over there? You know, I did hear a trade rumor that involved Carolina the other day that said Jonathan Stewart for Hakeem Nicks. That would be interesting. If you have Jonathan Stewart on the waiver wire, you might want to pick him up, see what happens before the trade deadline. If it doesn't happen, then you dump him, you know. But it would be something to see another big lumbering back in there for the Giants. But anyway, yeah, I love Giovanni Bernard. He's our skyrocket announced running back of the year. And Joika Bell is a guy that can also take one to the house. So we like Durham. We like Stafford. Calvin, if he plays, you have to start him, although we don't think he's more than a wide receiver, a low-end wide receiver one right now because of the fact that he's just not playing that much. It's not fair.
yeah.
And then A.J. Green, definite must start. The tight ends are kind of killing each other, Eifert and Gresham. They're not really startable at all because of that. One of these days, one of them will be, but just not yet. And then Dalton. Dalton is another guy against Detroit. I would probably start over Matt Ryan. That's the story. San Diego at Jacksonville. Rivers, I'm definitely starting over Ryan. Chad Henne, I'm considering starting over Matt Ryan because he's going to have a big day against that San Diego defense that allows tons and tons and tons of points to the quarterback position, Mike. San Diego is the fourth worst in the league at allowing points to the quarterbacks. That will continue against the new target leader in the National Football League in Justin Blackmon. Mike, who do you like more in this game, Justin Blackmon or Keenan Allen? Because both these guys are just absolutely putting the world on fire.
Yeah, they're both on fire. I mean, it's been a lot of fun to watch both of them. Justin Blackmon, let's face it, this kid has immense talent, and he's just trying to show it on a bad team. But San Diego's Keenan Allen he'll definitely outscore Justin this week. Just on the pure fact that Keenan's on a better team, and San Diego's defense, they've already shown what they can do. San Diego is creepy good. You better watch these guys. They are creepy good.
Keenan Allen topped 100 yards receiving for the second straight week, also added a touchdown in the win over the Colts. And he's the real deal. He's a solid number two. I remember them comparing him to Reggie Wayne in the remember when we talked about him in the offseason, they compared him to Reggie Wayne, and he's playing like a star in the league, Mike. He really understands what's going on. He's getting it. I do like Ryan Matthews this week. If you're hurting, not even if you're hurting. I think the guy looked good this past week against the Colts, and they kept the Colts off the field. It's what the Colts are going to have to do to Denver if they want to win that game to stay in it. You're going to have to try to keep the offense off the field. But that's what they did against the Colts. They kept them off the field, and that's all you saw was Ryan Matthews and Danny Woodhead just pounding away at this sucker. Both those guys are pretty good starters. Now, he did limp off the field in the third quarter, Ryan Matthews, against the Colts, and he was able to check back in the game. But it looks like he's good to go. 100-yard game for Ryan Matthews. The problem is he's not getting receptions. So do you trust him to get into the end zone? If he gets into the end zone, is the only way you can trust him, because he's not going to get receptions.
Who do you trust more?
Those are going to Woodhead.
Who do you trust more right now? If you're Ryan Matthews or Danny Woodhead, if you had both of them looking at you, who would you start?
Well, Woodhead has not punched one in yet this year. He has a couple of receiving touchdowns, but look, the receptions are very powerful in PPR. He's averaging six receptions a game for about 40 yards a game, and he's averaging another 25 yards a game rushing, so that's 60. So he's averaging 12 points a game basically just for doing nothing and not getting in the end zone.
Yeah.
So I don't see how you can't start Danny Woodhead first. But if you have Woodhead or if you have Ryan Matthews and you're hurting and you got some guys on bye this week, it wouldn't be too bad to put him in as a flex. MJD, I'm sorry, there hasn't been a lot there this year. And look, he wasn't on our radar. We didn't draft him anywhere. We didn't tell you to draft him. If you listen to this show,
have
him on the spot.
I have him in one of the Roto Bowls, and
San Diego is the number one defense in the league against running backs. If you didn't know that already, San Diego is the number one defense in the league against running backs. You don't start your running backs against San Diego this year. Chad Henne, big game for DraftKings players. Get him in your lineups for the salary cap game. San Francisco at Tennessee, Mike. I don't really have anything to talk about, although Gore has lit up AFC teams. The last four or five times he's played them, he's had 100 yards and a touchdown against AFC teams. Very interesting little note there. If you're thinking about Frank Gore, lights up the AFC.
This is good. Actually, this is going to be a pretty interesting game with those mid-range guys that drafted your Gore and your Chris Johnson, your Anquan Boldin, guys like that. Where do these guys sit in this game? Because they haven't shown up. Anquan Boldin did the first week, but since then there hadn't been much. And I think Frank Gore does okay. I think Chris Johnson does okay, but that's about it. I don't really see anything that's jumping out at me fantasy point wise in this game.
Well, Vernon Davis should jump out at you. He's with the, after the game that he had, people like 40 in fantasy, and I think Vernon Davis can do that at any time. He was unstoppable in camp, and he's had a couple of games with Kaepernick where he's been unstoppable. So I think you have to try to get him involved some more, because there is no wide receiver on this team that's really going to cause damage. Boldin gets it done when you throw the ball to him, and he can just he just kind of bodies up. He doesn't get separation. Green Bay is not good against the wide receivers this year. You've seen that. So week one, when he went off, that's kind of why we're kind of figuring that out.
Yeah.
But they need Michael Crabtree and Vernon Davis in this offense to really work. They need that option, run game from Kaepernick to really work. And I'm not so sure it's going to work against Tennessee, who's a pretty good defense. They're a little underappreciated, I think. And definitely, This is not a team that you want to challenge against wide receivers. They are the number one rated defense against wide receivers in the league, so you don't start your Anquan Boldins this week.
Yeah, it makes sense because this game is one of the I'm looking down through the line. It's the second lowest over and under at 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yep.
Makes
this sense. It's going to be Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, and Kaepernick. That's all that is startable on the San Fran side. On the Tennessee side, I'm not sure anybody is startable on that team, and that's a that's a shame. You know, they're just really not – they don't have much going at this point. And you know, this is about the time where a couple games from now you're going to start to ask yourself, should we get Justin Hunter involved a little bit more to see what the kid has? And that's about the time. Good run for Louisville. Houston at Kansas City.
What's scored in the Louisville game real quick?
Yeah, it's still 14-7. Houston at Kansas City. I got to fly right through these, Mike. Had a question.
Charles.
We had a question from Twitter. Ridley, Bow, or Greg Jennings? Ugh, that just tells you how far Bow has fallen. Good friend Ben Standing brought that up the other day. I think I would start Greg Jennings in that with that Twitter question. Jamal Charles, you definitely
I would start Bow.
I'm not feeling Dwayne Bow at all. And Houston,
I would
a big
start Bowen for Jennings.
A big game for the Kansas City defense. And Houston has to lean on Arian Foster because that's all they have right now. Andre Johnson. Oh, touchdown, Lowell. There you go. 21-7.
Houston doesn't have much right now. They like you said, they got to lean on Arian Foster. But, Houston's defense, let's face it, they haven't been that great. So I'm really expecting a big game out of Jamal Charles.
Mike, we got 3 minutes left in the program. Baltimore at Pittsburgh, defensive slugfest. I do think that Baltimore does allow passing yards through the air. You can get Antonio Brown involved. You will get Heath Miller involved. Nothing wrong with starting Antonio Brown, Heath Miller, Emmanuel Sanders, and Ben Roethlisberger. I look for Pittsburgh to get a win here, and they've got momentum off of one win, as weird as that sounds. They do have some momentum. You definitely start Ray Rice. You start Torrey Smith, although reluctantly. I don't think he's going to have a very good week against Pittsburgh. Somebody like Cannon Doss or Jacoby Jones gets going. The word on the street is that Dennis Pitta is coming back week 9, Mike. Even though Baltimore's not talking about it, Dennis Pitta is going to be back week 9 from what I hear. So be watching for that. Josh Gordon should be a monster. Jordan Cameron should be okay. And then on the other side of the ball, we got to talk about Jarrett Boykin, Mike. I'm going to give you the floor here because Jarrett Boykin gets the cleanup and the mop-up duty from Randall Cobb and possibly James Jones. Finley is in a put-up-or-shut-up week for Jermichael Finley.
Systems are systems, Scott. I've been talking about it forever. Boykin will fit just fine with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, he's going to find Boykin with no problem.
Yep. Well, Jarrett Boykin has got to be in your lineup, period, point blank, in the story.
Yep.
Look, I like Albania. I like him for receptions. He kind of fits that Andre Ellington mold, but a little bit better at this point in his career. Not as fast, but a little bit more well-rounded. It could carry a bigger workload. So, Albania in the DraftKings salary cap games. Denver at Indy. It's the game we've all been waiting for all season long.
Yep.
Like the hype and the buildup of Peyton Manning taking it back to the city that he built and the stadium that he built, and there's a lot of hype in this game. The thing is this, Mike, he only scored 2 touchdowns last week, but that's because that's what he wanted to do. He could have scored 5 or 6 if he wanted, but he gave them to Moreno. So really, at the end of the day, it all comes down to, does he want to punish the Colts and put it on them, or does he want to come and say after the game in the press box and in the interviews, hey, this is a team game. It's not about me. It's all as long as we get the W. What do you think he does?
Well, Peyton Manning takes a high road all the time. He really does. Denver's 6.5-point favorite. I think Denver crushes Indy in this game. I'm calling it 49-17.
All right. Don't forget Reggie Wayne in this game, guys. I know you're going to get him started anyway. I know you're going to get Hilton in there. Fleener is not somebody you can really trust right now, unfortunately. But everybody on Denver, you're starting in your game, so there's not a lot to talk about from a fantasy perspective. This is a fantasy show, not an NFL show. Minnesota at the Giants. Oh, geez, Adrian Peterson, you got in your lineup. Reuben Randle has been the star, and Brandon Jacobs should punish the Vikings. Mike, that's all the time we have. Good. I hope your spread covers tonight because Louisville, they're trying to remain undefeated. And look,
Let them cover. Let them cover, and love the crew, and love talking with you guys.
You've been listening to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.